The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Tonight we are talking. I was about to take a break tonight, but the event is so important that I thought I would have to do a show. So let's do it. We need to talk about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And it goes in all directions right now on social media, blah, 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 the left, the campus, security, the lefts are crazy. And I want to step back a little bit. We're going to talk about all the details. Charlie Kirk was shot in the neck, probably instantly died or was kept alive in some very artificial form and then died not too long after. Charlie Kirk had been slowly, he's been a centrist conservative seen as Con Inc. by the Nick Fuentes of this world. He has been slowly in the last few weeks and months turning around. I made shows about this. I was welcoming this when Charlie Kirk was starting to talk about race, when Charlie Kirk was starting to engage on subjects around Nick Fuentes. And he was doing it in a very shy way. And he had told, apparently, his surrounding that he was scared that if he went too hard after Israel, they would kill him. That is something to be noted. I'm not saying Israel did it, but that is the context in which we must understand this. Charlie Kirk was slowly drifting toward the more far-right discourse that has been signature of the Nick Fuentes and me and others that previously were ignored by him. By him and by the likes of him. And I want everyone to step back a little bit here. And this is like on Zoom. The situation on the college campuses is not new. The fact that we have a radicalized youth in the left is not new. By the way, Richard Spencer in 2016 had to stop going to college campuses. Do you remember the clips? Do you remember the clips of Richard Spencer on stage saying to fat black woman, hey, maybe we can harvest our own broccolis. Maybe we're not that stupid. Maybe white people can do that. And all of these youth extremists in the crowds being offended by this, by the idea that they were not needed for white civilization to exist. Back then, Richard Spencer had to stop going to college. He had to stop it. Why? Because it was becoming too costly, too dangerous. The security was unfeasible. He was getting attacked. And did you hear the Tucker Carlsons of this world? Even the Charlie Kirk of this world. Did you hear these people annoyed by it? Did you hear them come to the defense of Richard Spencer and say, hey, if we let our campuses drift to the point where we can't say truths anymore, it's going to be a problem for even us down the line? None of them, the Charlie Kirks of this world, their policy has been a complete ignorance of what was going on in campuses, as if they could go on and do their little show because they had the monopoly of it. They had the security. They had the ability to counter the Antifa protesters. But it comes back to bite them today. And I'm not saying I'm celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. Not at all. It is a very sad event what's been happening. But you have let this curve, the scurvy of far leftism in college take root to a point where you cannot ensure your own security. And you weren't by our side when it was us. You weren't by Papa JF's side when Papa JF could not express his ideas on campus, could not become a professor, could not be part of academia because he had the wrong ideas. These very ideas that today, 10 years later, you are adopting slowly, shyly, on YouTube, maybe on a Megyn Kelly stream rather than your official TPUSA Turning Point, whatever. You stood in silence in front of the rising communism and terrorism of leftist campuses. And now you have a fucking war zone and you die in it. It's shocking. It's shocking that people have to die for their IDs. But we were the first, and we were targeted. And these people have done nothing to help us. I still am very moved by the death of
Charlie
Kirk.
All George Floyd statues must be replaced with giant Charlie Kirk's head statues.
We'll talk about this, and we'll talk about elevating Charlie Kirk as a hero of debate. Because I see all over Twitter, of course, when someone dies, oh, the last true debater. Whoa, wait a minute here. I don't want Charlie Kirk to die. I don't want anyone to die for their free speech. But Charlie Kirk was not the last true debater. The last true debater happened when the center-right decided to let it happen that the left would start censoring us. And the last debates, the last free debates of YouTube have happened in 2016, 2017. And it was under our care. Because we saw what was going on in the college campuses and we decided to develop an internet space in which debate could continue. And they shut us down. And Charlie Kirk was not there. And Tucker Carlson was not there. And Trump was not there to help any of us. So when you're stuck with a war zone and you're the bullets are coming your way now, please understand something. You have let this develop. You have shut up in front of it, and now it's coming back to you. Now that you reach the truth 10 years later, the leftists are regarding you as me. And they think, well, am I going to go kill JF in Northern Alberta? Meaningless streamer, censored on all points, lied about in the media. Is he not neutralized enough? Is he not meaningless enough? No, I'm going to go kill Charlie Kirk. So you get what we received. It's not what you deserve. You don't deserve to die, Charlie Kirk. You don't deserve to die for your IDs. You don't deserve to die because you reached truths that I reached in 2015. But you get what you stood silent in front of. That's what you get today, Charlie Kirk. Very sad event. Very sad event. Lawmakers are reflecting on Charlie Kirk's influence. And this is where I'm telling Trump, you know, there is a point at which you're going to have to know that colleges have become zones of insurrection. They fit the standard. There's no way you're going to make colleges conservative. The left just showed you today. They will kill conservatives. So it's like whoever has the most courage on the side of conservatives. Well, Richard Spencer was speaking on colleges. He stopped because clearly he was about to get killed too. I would love to speak on colleges. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be killed. And so the left is winning here. To all of those celebrating this, and we will elevate Charlie Kirk as a martyr, and we're starting to win starting today. Ah! You're not starting to win. The left has made it clear that colleges would be spaces of radicalization for far leftism, and that would be forever until you shut them down, until it doesn't exist anymore, until Trump sends in the army and declares these zones are zones of insurrection. There's nothing we can do with it. Permanently close colleges. Because there's never going to be free speech on colleges. That can't happen. Because there's always going to be one shooter ready to throw that one bullet. So you either let these colleges slowly drift toward their natural communist direction, or you close them. It's the only choice. You don't have a choice where suddenly colleges become spaces of exchange. Suddenly colleges become places where you can actually report race statistics that are known. Facts. We had super chats through Entropy. Thank you so much for the support. Draco Malfoy says they will call you racist anyway. Just leveled up to they will shoot you anyway. Exactly. So it's like, it doesn't matter how soft you go at it. And, you know, I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, Charlie Kirk was not an extremist. What the fuck are you talking about? Are you saying that I should die? Oh, Charlie Kirk wasn't an extremist. Why would they shoot him? Well, you have abandoned free speech so long ago, my friend, if you say this. Because you think that somehow is paleness. You think that somehow is middle ground attitude and is openness would be reason not to shoot him. And by that, you are implying that someone who's harsher on these points should be shot. This is why I'm not just desperate. You know, the gravest thing you can take on the left is those leftists celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. I see much graver than this. I see the people at the center right thinking, how could he be shot? He was not an extremist. How could he be shot? He had a black friend. How could he be shot? He wasn't a racist. So you're saying that the left is absolutely justified in shooting racists and extremists and people who are just slightly to your right. But it's the shooting of Charlie Kirk. This is so incomprehensible. So you have given ground for free speech already. You've abandoned the college campuses. You monopolized them because you thought you were the right equilibrium of centrism to not be killed and not be protested against by Antifa. But the way Antifa rejects JF and rejects Richard Spencer from colleges is the exact same way in which Charlie Kirk rejects Nick Fuentes from his own podcast. And so if you want resolution, if you want fixing of this situation, it's going to take more than just, oh, we'll go hard onto college campuses. No, it's going to take you understanding that you have been practicing the exact same cancel culture as the left. And Charlie Kirk has been practicing it too. Again, that's no reason for him to die. But as long as this is not fixed in America, as long as there's not an apology to intellectuals who have seen the truth, who have seen it 10 years before Irina died, that she would die. Because we can understand fucking statistics, which apparently 99% of people can't. As long as you don't apologize to these people for punishing them for seeing the truth before you, as far as I'm concerned, you're all fucking leftist. You're all fucking Antifa. We know that the shooter that has been involved in... There is confusion because there was a boomer on the ground that appears to have been cut by the police. He appears to have perhaps made a confession. Appears to have perhaps said, maybe it's me, or maybe some people were saying, he said it's him. So a boomer was arrested on the ground. Apparently, it was not the shooter. Now we are hearing that the shooter of Charlie Kirk is in custody. and we don't know anything about the shooter. We will have a review today of what it could be. Even at this point, the FBI is saying in their press conference, we don't know if there would be foreign involvement. We don't know if there would be foreign involvement. Well, that's a weird thing to say. Normally, the elite that control narrative, they know not to say this, because invoking a negative is invoking the possibility that, yes, Charlie Kirk could have been assassinated today because he was loose on his leash. Absolutely possible. It may have been also from just a regular terrorist, Antifa, maybe another trans shooter, just like we had. Could be that. We will explore those possibilities. But certainly someone on Twitter named Omar, a person with a non-binary identity, who I have seen a picture of the person, and it would appear that the person is kind of a guy dressing as a woman. So they call themselves non-binary, but I would say almost trans. Called Omar on Twitter, who has apparently announced the death of Charlie Kirk one day in advance. Charlie Kirk is coming to my college tomorrow. I really hope someone evaporates him, literally. Let's just say something big will happen tomorrow. Hee hee hee. So is that the person that Kash Patel has imprisoned? I don't know. What we know is that the shooting probably came from a sniper on a roof. Again, same thing as the Trump assassination. A shooting with a high-powered rifle, sniper style, well-prepared, well-positioned. Charlie received the bullet, a high-powered bullet, directly in the artery here. And it led to a splash of blood immediately. Charlie was shocked by the shoot and immediately apparently lost consciousness or became rigid, fell to the side as he was losing massive amounts of blood instantly. So neck shots like this, extremely hard to keep someone alive. Extremely hard to keep someone alive after such an immediate loss of blood. Because you have two complications. You have less blood in the system, and you have the compression of the artery. This is the artery that brings blood to your brain. Your brain can survive 30 seconds without oxygen. It's not going to... Within the 30 seconds region, you enter into severe brain damage and death. So the only chance that Charlie had is a lucky compression with a towel. You roll the towel, if that happens to you, because at this point there are so many white people being jugularized in public. At this point we have to talk about about what you have to do if that happens to you or someone you love. You have to roll a towel around the neck, solidify, compress very hard, not to the point of strangling the person, but almost. Because you want the force to be pushing the blood back in a way that will allow some circulation to the brain. So this may have been done, but the problem with a high-powered bullet is there's an explosion, there's really a rupture of the artery in a way that the compression may not be enough. And so Charlie Kirk was confirmed in critical condition at first for about an hour or two, and then eventually Trump announced his death. We have videos that have emerged of the positioning of the shooter. So at first, the speculations of AP News was that the shot seemed to have come from this building, the Lossie Center. The Lossie Center in black hair, while Charlie Kirk was speaking right here. And then we had video coming from the roof of the of the Lossy Center. And perhaps we can start by seeing the shooting itself. I'm not going to show the most graphic video because the most graphic video shows an explosion of the jugular, you know, an explosion of the artery that leads directly to the brain. I'm going to show one angle where we see the shooting happen. Let's have a look. And so shot apparently from perhaps people seem to have turned immediately their head toward the right. It seems that from this region here or out of the field of camera, the sniper was positioned. And in fact, there are two independent confirmation of the position of the sniper through videos that people were gathering accidentally. I don't have the video right now, but they show someone running. Let me try to find the video. They show someone running on the roof. And here's a picture of... So let's see if we can get a zoom. You're going to see there's someone running here right after the shooting. So pay attention to this area here. See, this is a person running right after the shot. Apparently someone dressed in all black. And it was also filmed from another angle. Someone saying, hey, I just saw someone running on the roof and he's now laying down at this place. So that is the video where someone after the shooting sees this person on the corner of the building.
Can ride up.
Yeah. You think he'd already be in place?
You would think that. So there's somebody on the roof right there? Just saying? He just ran from over, where's my finger? Well, from over there, ran in, and now he's right there.
So apparently this would be from another angle, the person we've seen run on the roof. So someone very well prepared, very intentional in their preparation. Now there's debate on social media. There's debate about, is that a professional signature? But it's certainly someone who has professionalized themselves. Or has been professionalized, but it's certainly, you don't get a 200-yard shot like this. You don't get this without any form of preparation. So it was someone who was decisively wanting to do this in a professional manner. There are many factors. First, it's a long shot. Second, the shot ended up in the neck in a way that is quite accurate. Now you can argue, well, was he shooting for the neck or was he not? Okay, possible that it was kind of an imprecise shot, but that just turned lucky for the shooter. But it is still, you know, we've seen it in the Trump case. It is still a long shot that requires some degree of practice, some degree of cold-bloodedness. And because we're talking about someone probably nervous, someone who is trying also to avoid sight, so they are trying to hide. Lord of Sigma says, seriously, some of you folks are unaware of how violent movies used to be in the 1970s to 80s. John Drake says, I think right-wing personalities should do everything digitally. No more in-person appearance. Well, there you reach a point that the alt-right has reached years ago. Because we know very well that if we are unwelcomed in a space, there will be massive threat. And even if they were not to kill us, they would make us spend enough money on security that our talks would be unviable. So there is this leftist anarcho-tyranny going on in colleges to the point where I say this justifies the idea that colleges are lost grounds. And what do you do with a lost ground when you're in a political war? You close them. they should be closed. It should be the standard that if a college cannot allow full free speech of the even the worst of the worst speech protected under the First Amendment, if a college cannot honor this, then without one of the speakers of one of the IDs being shot, then they should be closed. Because if you don't close them, what are you saying? You're saying to the left, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep killing whoever you find to be extreme. And it doesn't matter if you're deluded about what Nazism is and you think Charlie Kirk is a Nazi. If you shoot them, what's going to be the remaining discourse on campus? It's going to be to the left of Charlie Kirk. So as long as you don't close colleges, there's no way around this. Because a right-wing speaker would be completely stupid. In fact, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this for years. How is TPUSA doing it? I was wondering, because we had failed at doing it. And I was thinking, is it because they're so soft that they don't trigger Antifa? Is it because they trigger Antifa, but Antifa is not organized enough to fight the size and the financial strength of TPUSA? But I've been wondering, how is it that Charlie Kirk, while having, by the way, opinions that I share, you know, about the trans stuff and LGBT stuff, how is it that he was there and yet you had trans people believing this guy is genociding me? How is it that he can survive a college visit? Because I couldn't. And I have the same ideas as Charlie Kirk say on LGBTism and trans. He's been an advocate against trans. And he's been denying the validity of trans life. Saying, you know, you are deluded. So what was it that was keeping Charlie Kirk alive? I've been wondering about it. And perhaps the conclusion today is there was nothing keeping him alive. It was just a matter of time before something like that would happen. Janaban sends $100. Thank you so much for the support. He says, are assassinations a sign of a regime losing power? Like JFK and MLK, who got killed for defying a fading conservative order, or proof of a rising regime asserting its will and tightening its grip? This is a very on-the-point question. Excellent question. Look, it is too early to derive the finality of this assassination, because we are talking about a range of possibilities, from a loose, single individual trans terrorist to an organized killing to reshape the public discourse. And we are talking everything in between also. The anarcho-tyranny of leftism, ambient references to the fact that, yeah, you know, we should kill people on the right wing. You hear this all the time in the media. So everything from a lone deranged wolf to a kind of anarcho-tyranny guided dog whistling toward violence, influencing one person or a group of person, up to countries. Countries finding that the Charlie Kirk direction was starting to be uncomfortable. And again, I won't say that Charlie Kirk has been killed by Israel, but interesting that Charlie Kirk has been such a servant of Israel for so many years, and that this is happening at a point where his discourse was starting to detach slightly from Israeli interest. I covered it on my show in the last few weeks. Charlie Kirk did a study group, a focus group, in which he was asking young people, hey, what should be our position about Israel? Like, what do you think? Should we be caring? Should we be on the fence? Should we be neutral? And by doing so, Charlie Kirk was opening the door to a future for TPUSA, a future that would not be a radical pro-Israel all the time. In fact, he went then on Megyn Kelly recently on a podcast and said, you know, I'm starting to be tired of we always have to side with Israel. Maybe sometimes we don't. It is very interesting that it is during this detachment. Now, it was not the only detachment of Charlie Kirk away from the mainstream. Charlie Kirk was becoming more racial every day. Charlie Kirk was bringing white racial consciousness on the everyday, more and more. Charlie Kirk has always been solid against the LGBT and the trans stuff. Charlie Kirk was bringing a Christian, a very Christian, and I'm saved by Jesus viewpoint. So all of this taken together, Charlie Kirk was in a trajectory. But again, does that allow us to resolve the problem of is it a lone wolf or is it a foreign government? No, because the trajectory of Charlie Kirk could have triggered anything along the way. The trajectory of Charlie Kirk could have pissed off a black man like 1 week ago. And the black man decided, I've been studying sniper rifles all my life. This will be my action. This guy is bringing too much race stats to my taste. Now, I don't particularly think it's a likely hypothesis because black people actually don't have a problem with black statistics generally. It's more likely to, if it's his race turnaround around the Irina story that caused this, it's more likely to be a white liberal or Jew liberal out of empathy for the blacks who would be triggered by this kind of discourse, because I've never seen a black person truly be offended by race statistics. I think they know very well. They know that their own people are violent. They've been living among them, sometimes in fear of being gunned down in their own neighborhood. So it's very rare that you'll see the opposition to race statistics coming from the blacks. But definitely Charlie Kirk was hitting on all these subjects. And I want to open up to another hypothesis that you know, I don't want to say that it's likely, or I don't think it's likely, but it could be a griper. It could absolutely be a griper. Not that I think that Nick Fuentes is inciting violence against Charlie Kirk. And I truly think that Nick Fuentes was in an opposition against Charlie Kirk, but that he is very honest in being distraught by the death of Charlie Kirk. He didn't want him to die. But you never know. You know, our fans can be crazy. Some people on the regular chat right now are just literal retards. Some of them are schizos. Some of them, they think I say something and I haven't said it. But they will interpret it that way. Schizophrenia is a freaking hell of a disorder, let me tell you. And it's not impossible that a griper out there would have said, all right, Charlie Kirk, you don't want to speak with Nick Fuentes? I'm killing you. A literal retard has come out of the woodworks. Hello username. The guy is such a retard, he could not even name himself on Rumble. So it does happen that we have in our crowds some people who go crazy and who misinterpret something we say. Give me 10 seconds, I'll be back. Yes, Jonathan sends $10. Thank you so much for the donation. He says, that's another thing. Nick Fuentes should double his personal bodyguard team. Definitely, you should be aware of the risks. Everyone should be aware of the risks because this is not a one-off event. As I've made the case at the opening of the show, this has been building up for 10 years. And we've been yelling to Trump and to the Republican Party, you are letting the country go down the drain. You are letting free speech escape from your grasp. All of, and for what? Because your guys are winning in this environment. Because your little non-extremist centrists like Charlie Kirk are winning in the environment of censorship, are winning in the environment of anarcho-tyranny. Because as long as it takes $1 million to make a TPUSA event in college, Charlie Kirk gets to say his stuff, but Papa JF doesn't get to say it. Because Papa JF is never going to spend $1 million on security to just speak to a bunch of fucking retards. And it should be the other way around. It should be free. We should be free to go on a college and not fear for our lives. But you have let this situation build up. You've let the YouTube censorship rise. You didn't go after YouTube when they censored us because it was advantaging your guys, your Charlie Kirk. And now you're dealing with the problem that the people who see in me someone that's worth killing are now seeing the same about your guys. How does that feel? How does that feel to be a target? Because I've been a target for 10 years now. I've had my life ruined personally, and I have been prosecuted and persecuted by the state. I have lost people in my life because of this environment of cancel culture, dehumanization, and yes, the quote by Sam Hyde. When we win, Pruitt sends a super chat. When we win, do not forget that these people want you broke, dead, your kids raped and brainwashed, and they think it's funny. That is absolutely the situation. And it's a situation you've let build up. Thinking, oh, well, if we can project an image of the right that is centrist enough, not too extremist, maybe we can soften the discourse, engage. You're not going to engage with trans terrorism. You're not going to convince them with facts and logic. They have abandoned facts and logic. It's a meme for them. They laugh at you if you bring facts and logic. Because they have constructed a vision of the world in which any fact can be ensconed. Any facts can be absorbed like a blob and feed their hatred. Their hatred of success. Because they know they will never get success. And it's not even because of what they think. It's not even because society rejects them. It's because they chop their fucking balls. And as such, they become sexually unavailable and uninteresting to anyone. And they go at a Charlie Kirk who had a beautiful family. Beautiful blonde wife. Blonde tinted, but blonde. Beautiful pale hair, kids, the exact white family that you come to hate when you're an LGBT trans, who even before they chopped their balls, they couldn't score anything above average, and after they can't score anything. And we are faced with potentially the same type of hatred that has motivated the Catholic school shooting. Blimpy Supervisor says, are there more than 3-2 since you're the one in the minority fool? Okay, you were talking to someone else. Okay, people are arguing on the regular chat. So I want to finish on a reflection. What does that mean for the future? What is the world going to look like? Because there's people on the internet saying this is the moment. This is a moment of absolute radicalization. They say that the bullet that killed Charlie Kirk did not just kill Charlie Kirk, it killed the center, the center right. It killed the idea that we had to be reasonable with people who want to kill us. It's a possibility. It's a possibility that some degree of extremization or radicalization will emerge from this. But I don't think it's the biggest probability. And yes, people who are in our circles, they know that nothing ever happened. And Flojo Stick says, ain't shit gonna happen. Rodita Sid says, this is the moment where nothing ever happens. I believe that is probably a more likely possibility. Because everything I said at the beginning of the show, do you think that the right will come to terms with this? Do you think that the right will say, oh, you know what? We made an error when we sided with cancel culture because it was in our interest at that moment. Do you think there will be a great reckoning, a great facing of reality? No, it won't happen. Because it's not in the interest of the people that fund this Con Inc. movement. What will happen is that space has been liberated in the space of, yes, Charlie Kirk, you know, had his unique position in the space of the right wing. It was uniquely, and perhaps Matt Walsh is comparable to him, but him and Matt Walsh are uniquely at the edge of pro-Zionist Con Inc. In a way where sometimes you ask yourself, well, are they secretly based and they're just doing what their employers tell them? So this space has been liberated. Charlie Kirk does not exist anymore. Charlie Kirk isn't there to kind of hold America between Nick Fuentes and Trump. Now, what happens then? I don't think much happens. I think Trump remains Trump and Nick Fuentes remains Nick Fuentes. And in this being the case, I believe we are still left with the same political landscape. It's just that there's going to be that game being played at the exact middle between the center-center and the right. The center-right shtick of Charlie Kirk has lost one representative. Certainly, you will hear people hitting drums hard. But are you really ready? Are you really ready to be an extremist? Like, to the whole... You know, to these Twitter accounts that keep farming engagement and rage bait. Do you really think you have it in you? Are you capable tomorrow of sending the American army to close all universities? Because if you're not in that game, you're not even the beginning of a revolution. If you're not in the game of we will have to impose tyranny, or else tyranny will be imposed onto us, and we will have to abolish spaces because these spaces have been violently conquered by insurrectionists, you're not in the game of changing America. You're just in the game of farming rage. Oh, let me tell you, you know, just like yesterday when I did this show with Spaces, and you had these boomer call-ins. JF, let me tell you, I don't know too much about the stuff you're talking about here, but patriots have the situation in control. Wink, wink. We have our sights on Frisco, Texas. Let me tell you where we have our wink, wink sights set up. There's not going to be one illegal migrant passing here. You know, this 5-meter place I'm looking at right now? Let me tell you, JF, patriots are under control. It's very different now. You fucking retards. You couldn't defend Frisco, Texas. You know what? Because you'd look around 360 degrees and you wouldn't know what's your side. Because there'd be Mexicans all around. And that's why you can't protect America from Frisco, Texas. And because of this ongoing retardation of the entirety of the American people, I tend not to develop much hope on these boomer banging of the chest. Let me tell you, 2025 is the point where it all changes. Elon Musk just gave $1 million to make graffitis of Irina, remembering Irina across all cities in America. Let me tell you, JF, Trump won't let that happen again. I think it's all bullshit. Thumping of the chest, war speech by a bunch of people who can't organize the shit. You can't even organize the retaking, the reapplication of one of the fundamental principles of America, free speech, on your college campuses. You don't have a solution. Today, we find ourselves with a Charlie Kirk dead. You don't have a solution on how do I get to speak freely in colleges tomorrow? Certainly not tomorrow. Certainly not next week. Certainly not next year. Certainly not in the next 100 years. So what is it? You're going to let these institutions be funded by the federal government and the state governments to radicalize our youth against white people? It will continue. You will continue with these fake facts that you teach to them because you can't teach them the truth about race. And it will go on. And you don't have a plan to stop it. You don't have a plan to even be able to speak to them because you're getting shot. I'm telling you, there's no resolution of this without shutdown. We have to realize anyways that the shutdown of colleges and universities is going to happen. You can't be beside the track of truth for so long and still maintain relevance socially. Now, you can with force. You can when you force people to fund you. And that's what we do with loans, student loans, all this money flow into the universities and the research. Let's keep it going. But I can't share a race statistics on your fucking college funded by this flow of federal money? And let alone race statistics. I mean, Charlie Kirk was barely in race statistics. You apparently can't share a Christian view of dicks and vaginas on college right now without being shot. So all of this to say, there is justification to be blackpilled. Darko Malfoy had sent another super chat on entropy. He had said, will 2025 be viewed as the year the tide turned? Shiloh, Irina, Charlie, Je suis Charlie. I wish. But here's the thing. Universities serve no purpose anymore except for professors to get richer. Okay? The other purpose is actually radicalizing the youth with the Marxist program. But if you look at the purpose of universities, you get better on the internet. AI is getting better than the average teacher. People are living more and more virtual lives. They don't need to go out to even work at times. And yet we force these youth to go physically into an environment where they will be horizontally radicalized and vertically radicalized. Vertically by the Marxist professor. Vertically because Marxist professors will not let a single different view exist in their field. Because if you want to publish peer-reviewed research, you better be a Jewish Marxist. Because let me tell you, if you're not one, you're in trouble. It's going to get fucking hard to publish peer-reviewed research. And so we have this vertical radicalization, the homogenization of the professorship of universities. And then you have the horizontal radicalization, which is by forcing people to be physically present, you have friendships developing between your children, who may be well-raised and all, but other fucking defective children. People who are fucked up in their life. They landed at the university because of some special grant for people with bizarre beliefs about their gender or whatever. And it put them into the mix in a way where they horizontally radicalize each other. And you have the speeches of violence on Twitter not being fought against. If JF says anything that may be interpreted as violence, JF gets banned. But the leftists, they have free reign. They can publish videos hating on white people on YouTube. So there's no mechanism to stop the radicalization, the horizontal radicalization of the youth. You could restore what has been holding the world together forever, which is the parental vertical line of education. And if people were learning from home, there's nothing right now, there's no technical reason why we need to send people to brick and mortar places to learn. The only reason is actually to get them accustomed to schedule lifestyle, to get them accustomed to work environments. But that is becoming increasingly irrelevant because work environments are increasingly becoming also virtualized and at home. And not everything requires physical presence, certainly not learning. A farting Irish says, I raised a mad genius at home. He is studying at the highest level in college. Absolutely. Absolutely possible. Darko Malfoy says, I take JF's critique of this statement about 2025. I was just posing the question. Oh, yeah, it was a fair question. But I don't think we are in a pivotal moment as far as the people who have been committing the sin of cancel culture. They will continue. They will continue. This event should be. You know what this event should be and won't be? It should be an occasion for Trump to realize that he had only a short lifespan to spend without talking to Nick Fuentes. And that we could have lost Nick Fuentes in the exact same way Charlie Kirk was lost today. And I'm sure that if you were to ask to any friend of Charlie Kirk, what would you do if you had the last 10 minutes with Charlie Kirk? They would tell you that they would use the opportunity to engage with him on something. They would laugh together. They would play together. Knowing that he's going to die, I would spend some more time with Charlie Kirk. Maybe I would debate him on a point, or we would laugh about this or that. But no one is talking about doing this to Nick Fuentes, who got targeted by the exact same kind of assassination. So what the right should do is it should unite in response to this, but it probably won't, because the right has integrated already the practices of the cancel culture that have been invented by the left and that serve the left. So this will not be a reckoning moment for them. And we find ourselves in the end in the same political landscape, a split between the mainstream Republican politics and the opposition to it in voices of dissent and voices of truth. And as long as this is not reconciled by an extending of the olive branch by the other side, I don't see the situation improving. So that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. I was about to be on a break tonight, but this news event shook me enough that I think it was worth doing this show. I thank people for joining us on Rumble. Blimpy Supervisor says, never punch right. I think we have to go even further than never punch right. I think we should say, we must humanize who is dehumanized by the left, and we must go as hard in humanizing them as they went in dehumanizing them. Until you reach that point, you have no solution to the conflict within the right. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love. Baroops and Stenbucks, thank you so much. Bye-bye.